Welcome to the Speak Like a Leader podcast with John Bates. Welcome to the show. With me today is someone who has been a big hero of mine for more than a decade. He's somebody that I modeled quite a bit in the early days. I read his book that we're going to talk about. It's called Media Training A to Z, A Complete Guide to Controlling Your Image, Message, and Sound Bites. And his name is TJ Walker. And I am so excited to actually get the chance to sit down with him here with you to talk to him. He's got an app that he just put out. It's very cool. I just downloaded it recently. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. He's also a really nice, wonderful guy. And I think you're going to love hearing from him. TJ, welcome to SpeakLikeALeader.show.
Hi, John. Great to be with you. Thanks.
Well, I'm glad to have you. So listen, let's talk. Let's just let people know who you are beyond what I said. Is there anything you'd add to that?
Well, I like the way you summarized it. You did a fantastic job. I'm going to record just that segment and play it for my wife tonight and every night.
There you go. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because my wife, I said, I'm, you know, this morning I'm interviewing TJ Walker on the podcast, and she's like, that name sounds familiar. And I told her who you were, and she goes, oh, I can't wait to meet him, you know, because that's how she meets people is through the podcast. So that's kind of cool.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for the kind words. I am a great communication coach in part because I'm not a natural communicator. I was that shy kid. You know, you ask most people, would you rather be coached by Michael Jordan or Dean Smith? You'd rather pick Dean Smith. It was the guy who was the average player who learned how to coach. The people who are just so fantastic at it typically are not good coaches because it all is so instinctual. I've had to break everything down. I was the quietest kid in my class, first grade, second grade, third grade. Now, when I finally graduated from sixth grade, my teacher came up to me and said, hey, you've got great grades except for handwriting. You've got horrible handwriting. You're going to get a C- in handwriting. I'll give you an A in handwriting if you give the welcoming speech at the graduation ceremony for the sixth graders. I've got to find some kid to do it. Uh-huh. And I was not a speaker. I'd never spoken more than, you know, a book report in front of 10 other kids. Uh-huh. But I thought, you know what? It'd be nice to get an A.
Yeah.
So I stood up. I gave the speech. And read, good afternoon, parents, teachers, students of Bruns Avenue Elementary School. It wasn't a great speech, but I got through it. I got the A, and I learned at an early age, if you're just willing to stand up and speak, people give you things.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be a great speech, although it's better, especially as your career advances, to give great presentations. But that's how I got my start. So yeah. I'm a big believer, unless you have some neurological problem, anyone can be a good speaker. If you've ever had one good conversation with one friend, you already have all the skills you need to be a great communicator, whether it's standing on stage to 10,000 people, whether it's going on your podcast, whether it's doing a media interview. You already have the skills. You just need to learn a few techniques to put a spotlight on the good stuff you already have. And that's what I teach people.
And I completely, totally agree. And I would add that in Hollywood, there's this saying, the art is in hiding the art. And I think that's exactly it, because we're all good one-on-one, you know. It's just that at some point, and for some people, it's three other people. For some people, it's 10 people. For some people, it's 50 people. Like, there's this line where all of a sudden something changes mentally, but it doesn't have to, you know?
Yeah, it happens with everyone, because I ask people all the time, you know, where are you comfortable? Where are you uncomfortable? That's when I'm doing a group or one-on-one in training session, public speaking or media training, I always ask people, where are you comfortable speaking, uncomfortable? And invariably, 90% of the time, someone will say, oh, I'm comfortable in front of small groups, but not in front of large groups.
Yeah.
And typically they'll say, well, if I'm sitting down talking to two people, I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
But if I have to stand up and talk to the whole board of eight people, then I get uncomfortable.
Right.
I was working with a client, I can't mention his name, but he, very prominent family in India, who, quite famous, a member of parliament. And he said, TJ, I'm very comfortable speaking in front of small groups, but I get nervous in front of large groups. And I said, yes, yes, minister, that's completely common. Everyone says that. And then he said, yeah, I'm very comfortable speaking to small groups of 5,000 or so, but I get very uncomfortable speaking to large groups of 100,000 people.
Yes, yes.
I said, well, that's not quite as common, but the basic principle is the same.
That's so funny.
So here's what happens from an evolution, a biological evolutionary perspective. We are programmed as a defense mechanism to fear being seen by all the other animals in the savannah. We are feared being separated from the pack.
Mm.
Because if you're the lone animal out in the savannah, it's easier for a lion, tiger, bear, some animal to see you alone and come eat you.
Yeah.
There's safety in the herd. Mm-hmm. You're one of 10,000, your chances of that one, you know, jaguar, panther coming and eating you are pretty slim.
Yeah.
So evolutionary biologists believe we as humans are programmed the same way. That's why if all of a sudden we have to stand up, we're separated from the pack. We're vulnerable. Yeah. Everyone can see us. They can see our flaws.
Yeah.
Now, it's unlikely someone, if you're giving a bad speech, is going to come up and attack you and maul you and eat you.
Right.
But it's still, we're still programmed with that primitive programming to make us nervous. That's why sweat comes out of our hands and out of our feet. And we might shake. Our brain actually stops working as well because your brain is saying, danger, run, get out of there. So it's much harder to think and recall. And that's why people do things like write down their whole speech. I am now reading my speech because I think I will not forget, and this way it will be perfect. Well, the problem with that is everybody's asleep because you're boring as all get out.
Yes.
So unfortunately, a lot of the solutions people come up with to deal with that nervousness actually makes them worse.
Yeah. Well, you know, TJ, I like to tell people, and I'd like to know what you think of this, because I tell people, look, this is never about fearless, because fearless will get you killed. You know, my dad was a combat Marine, and he told me when I was young, you don't want a fearless foxhole buddy, son. You, like, that guy will get you killed. You know, what you want is somebody who is courageous, who has their fear, but will act anyway. And, you know, look, it's historically, you can see it's dangerous to get noticed by the group. Jesus, Joan of Arc, Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, Socrates, you know, the list goes on, get noticed by the group. And so it's never about being fearless. It is always, in my opinion, not only courage, but it's also generous, because you're caring about something more than yourself, right? You have a message, you have a mission, you have a purpose that's greater than your fear. And that, to me, is, that's just already inspirational.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way of looking at it. I have a slightly different perspective. People come to me all the time and say, oh, TJ, I have a fear of public speaking. I have a fear of speaking. And they expect me to say, relax, drink some green tea, meditate. Yeah, look at your audience as if they were in their underwear. Well, that's horrible advice.
That's
HR
terrible,
doesn't.
Yeah.
They don't appreciate that anymore. And depending on your audience, it's either too disgusting or too exciting. So that's horrible advice. My point is, it's completely rational to be fearful. If you haven't been trained, if you haven't learned how to do something well, it's rational to be fearful.
Yeah.
If you're an accomplished pilot and someone says, fly the plane, you're not fearful.
Yeah, that's
very. If you've never flown a plane in your entire life, and someone says the pilot's dead, come on up and land the plane, it's completely rational to be fearful.
Yes,
I would crash us all, and we would die. It would be irrational for me not to be fearful.
Yeah.
If you tossed car keys to the typical 10-year-old and said, "Drive to the grocery store," that would make them very scared and fearful because they've never learned how to drive. They haven't been to driver's ed. If you tossed the car keys to me or you and said, drive to the grocery store, Yeah. It would be impossible to be fearful because we've done it thousands of times.
Yeah.
So the reason most people are fearful about public speaking is they've never had a day of training in their life. Or if they have had training, it's awful training. It's things like counting the uhs and ums and making them, ooh, I said complete waste of time. So the solution to being fearful about public speaking is to actually learn how to speak.
Yeah.
And to have evidence that you're doing it well. Now, when I started doing this close to 40 years ago, it was very expensive to figure that out. We'd have to hire a TV camera operator who brought this 60-pound camera in and book a studio. It was very time-consuming and expensive.
Yeah.
These days, everyone is completely surrounded by video camera studios, i.e. their cell phone.
Yeah.
So the number one way to get over fearfulness of public speaking, speaking to the media, is to simply practice on video, look at it, and I'm going to say more. People stop listening after this part. They think I'm saying, practice once on video, you'll be great. No.
Yeah. No.
The key is you have to practice on video, look at it, figure out what do you like, what do you not like. Do it again.
Yeah.
Try to do more of what you like, less of what you don't like. Keep doing it until you can look at that video of your presentation or your media interview and say, wow, if I can be half as good as she is or half as good as he is, I'm going to be the star of that conference or of that TV show. And you're pointing to a video of yourself.
Yeah.
When you get to that point, it actually becomes profoundly difficult to be nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You can be nervous on a first date. If you've been married to someone for 20 years and you're going out for dinner, it's pretty hard to be nervous.
Yeah.
You might be bored or something else, but it's going to be pretty hard to actually be nervous because you're so familiar with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still get nervous, you know. I do a lot of training all over the world and have done that for, you know, I've been a speaker for most of my life. But I think that I think that really what it is excited, you know, like there's a little nerves like, oh, am I going to screw something up? And I put that in the back seat and just call that feeling excited, you know? Your book Media Training A to Z has been a total Bible for me. I think it's brilliant. I think it's exceedingly well-written. And when I say that, you know, you're not Dostoevsky, which is not what I want in a book like this anyway, right? Like, this is very conversational.
Well, thank you, I think.
yes. It's a huge compliment. I mean, if you're trying to write deep Russian fiction, then it wouldn't be a compliment. But but it just so communicates. And I think you walk your talk in here and you tell us stories and you make it very, very conversational. It's like having a conversation with you. And, you know, a couple of the things that really stand out for me that I was actually very relieved to hear, you know, long, long ago when I read this the first time. One is that the people who seem like they're so good at being fast on their feet are typically the ones who have spent the most time preparing and practicing, which sort of, you know, that's kind of counterintuitive, right? Like,
sure.
There's the
famous quip from Winston Churchill said, you know, someone complimented on his impromptu witty remarks. He said, yes, it only took me 2 weeks of practice to do it.
Exactly. And, you know, I didn't realize, but I have a dear friend who was good friends with Steve Jobs, was on his team creating all of those great communicator speeches with him. And after they created the speech, Steve Jobs would practice for an hour for every minute he was going to be on stage. And what I didn't know is that he got that, I'm pretty sure, from Winston Churchill, who did the same thing.
He was known as a relentless rehearser and days, sometimes a week, for one of his major product launches. Now, I'm a little reluctant to say that should be everyone's role model.
It seems
intimidating. It seems
sure.
like, well, you know, that's fine. He had 10,000 employees to do all the work. I got to do real work.
Yes.
Here's the magic number. It's, in my opinion, it's not 1 hour per minute. It's not three times or five times. It's just practicing, recording it looking at until you like it. It might take you 50 times. It might take you 2 times.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this, if you do it regularly, it will take you less and less time. It's like any other skill.
That's for sure.
It gets faster and easier. So don't tell yourself, well, I can't rehearse 50 hours, so I might as well not rehearse at all.
Yeah. No.
Even if you got to give a speech in 5 minutes, or if you have a media interview in 5 minutes, I would highly recommend you practice the first 30 seconds on your cell phone, look at it, or your three main points, look at it, watch it, and just think about what did I like there. That only takes 60 seconds.
Yeah.
So if you've got an interview in 5 minutes, there's no rational reason not to do a mini rehearsal.
Yes.
And the reason people don't is, I don't like to. I'm not comfortable with it.
Guess what?
Yeah. There's no audience in the entire world that gives a darn about whether you're comfortable or not.
Yeah.
So people say they can't. It's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back when I had a big house and a big garage, my wife would say, you know, clean the garage. And I'd say, well, you know, I can't. I'm busy. It's all a lie.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyone can clean a garage.
Yeah.
It's just unpleasant. You have to go into the garage, pick stuff up, take it outside, then ask yourself, have I used it in the last year? If not, give it away, throw it away. Anyone can do it.
Yeah.
Most people don't. So to me, speaking is exactly the same thing. Anyone can be a great speaker. When you tell yourself you can't, when you tell yourself you can't rehearse, you're a liar. Now, again, we all delude ourselves in certain ways.
Yeah.
I'm no different, but this is one area that I think anyone can conquer because it actually saves you time. The big tragedy for most people, especially in bigger corporations, but sometimes small ones, is they spend dozens of hours, sometimes 100 hours, writing and rewriting a speech, writing and rewriting bullet points on a PowerPoint, changing the bullet point fonts, changing the color, changing the logo, staying up till 2 a.m., and then the speech is the next morning or that morning, and, oh, I would love to rehearse, but there's no time.
Right.
Well, there was plenty of time. You're using it all the wrong place.
Yeah, I totally
agree. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, I mean, I tell people, mostly people want to be with you. You know, they don't want to be with a million words on your slide deck. If you can do it without a slide deck, I personally think that's way better. And I get sometimes there's numbers and things that you need to put up and you want them to see them. But that PowerPoint should support your message, not be the focus of everything you do, you know?
Well, I'll say, I mean, here's an example where I'm a bad communicator, because every training I've ever done, every book I've ever written, I've said the same thing about PowerPoint slides, which is they're great. They're wonderful. I use them all the time. I don't have a single shred of evidence that putting text on a slide is worthwhile at all.
No.
Images work.
Yeah.
You were mentioning Steve Jobs when he introduced the iPhone. He said, why are we here today? He said, you know what this is? He put up a picture of an old flip phone.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know what this is? And he put a picture of an iPod. Why are we here today? The two pictures merged together into the iPhone. And you knew instantly what it was. And here it is, what, 15 years later, I can remember the images.
Yes.
And yet most of us have seen, if we've seen a PowerPoint slide in the last day or the last 5 minutes, chances are you remember nothing. The brain simply doesn't retain information text up on a screen.
No,
if you want text,
right,
there's this invention that's an absolutely wonderful invention for delivering text. It's called a book.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm happy to give a copy of my book, Media Training A to Z, to any of your listeners absolutely free if they do one thing for me. And that you mentioned in the opening, I do have a new app. The app is designed to help people not only become better public speakers, but to flourish in every aspect of their life. It's called Ultimize, Ultamize. You go to the Apple App Store, the Android App Store, it's there, and there's no charge for you. I will give you a copy of this book if you leave a review.
Great.
And if you want a copy of my book, Secret to Foolproof Presentations, which is, this one's entirely about public speaking. The media training one is about media training. I'll send you a copy of that. All you have to do is copy and paste the review that you left for Ultimize on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, whatever you do, and just copy that and send it to me. I'm TJ at Ultimize.com. It's Ultimize with an A, U-L-T-A-M-I-Z-E. So I'm happy to give these books to you. I also think you'll get a lot and become a better speaker with Ultimize, because one of the things it does is it gives you a little ad each day telling you you're a great communicator. It's right. 5 seconds long, and you'll actually see your own face. Here's how I developed Ultimize, because I've been a public speaking coach since really 1984 was the first time I did coaching. I did it for many, many years. Always had a fascination with the big personal development public speakers, the Anthony Robbins of the world, and couldn't really figure out how to make that transition from coaching one-on-one, small groups, 5-6 executives, to helping people on all aspects of personal development. Mm-hmm. I started doing online training courses in 1998, basically failed for 20 years. Got on the platform of Udemy.com, U-D-E-M-Y.com, about 8 years ago. And first month made $6. Second month, $10. Very slow start.
Yeah.
But then continued to learn, continued to try to improve, did more and more courses. I now have 223 courses.
Wow.
And about 4 years ago, it really started to take off. And then when the pandemic hit, as horrible as it was, I wish it had never happened, it just caused a skyrocket of demand for my online. At that point, I said, well, I can do any course I want on any subject. So I started doing personal development courses, goal setting, how to be successful, productivity, time management, how to be happier. So I was making these courses, and they were getting, you know, selling a lot, making money, getting great reviews. But meanwhile, I'm looking at the data across the country and the world, and all the data shows people want to become thinner and healthier. Mm-hmm. They want to become richer. They want to be more productive. And yet all the evidence shows that, especially in America, people are more obese than ever.
Yeah.
People have more credit card debt than ever. People's garages are more cluttered with stuff, and people feel like they have less time than ever to be creative and productive because they're spending all their time looking at social media and TikTok and Netflix videos. Mm-hmm. So I said that something's wrong. Clearly, the personal development world is not solving the problem. People spend $57 billion a year on personal development books and Anthony Robbins workshops. And I've been to Anthony Robbins workshops, and they're great. The problem is all the personal development and all the stuff in the health and wellness space is one-off. You go to your doctor once a year, and the doctor says, you know, you need to take off 10 pounds.
Yeah.
You read a health article once a month that says drink more water. It's all one-off and typically long form. A four-day workshop, a one-hour keynote speech, read this book for 5 hours. And I ask myself, who's really influencing behavior? And my answer was, it's Coca-Cola, it's McDonald's, it's advertisers using Facebook ads and Google ads. Mm-hmm. So I said, why not take what we know works here? No one really tests personal development to see if it works. Mm-hmm. Every ad you see, especially on the Super Bowl or national, has been tested for effectiveness. We know it works. So back with water, once a month you see some article that says drink more water. The problem is, you and everyone else sees about 1,000 ads a day saying, drink more Coke, drink more Gatorade, drink more Macchiato. All of those drinks have sugar in them. Mm-hmm. So it's it's basically 30,000 to one.
Yeah,
I don't like those odds.
No.
And that's why sugary drinks win. That's one reason why we have a massive obesity and diabetes epidemic in this country, increasingly around the world. The average person is getting bombarded with 10,000 messages, branded messages a day The internet makes it 1,000 times worse. The coming metaverse is going to make it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I created a personal development app that is designed to use advertising, but it's ads exclusively for you. Coca-Cola, Citibank, Chase, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, they have the most brilliant minds in the world and ad agencies and Google mm-hmm. engineers, all designed to change your behavior. What if you had the same power to give you the behavior that you wanted?
Yeah.
To give you the life that you wanted. So the Ultimize app helps you not just with your health and wellness, but how to really take control over your life in every aspect. How to help with your finances, how to help with your relationships, how to help with your creativity, your productivity, your learning. It looks at all seven major spheres of life, and then it gives you little reminders throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Short little ad, just 5 seconds, because
yeah.
we're already looking at our phone 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
The average person is picking up their phone 150 times a day.
Yeah.
We all have little snippets of time. You're waiting for an elevator. You're waiting for a podcast to start. You've already checked your text, your email. Why not spend 5 seconds for you? Now, the interesting catch, the way I tried to make this interesting, is it's not me, the guru, telling you how to live your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Anthony Robbins telling you how to live your life. It's actually you telling you how to live your life. We use the power of deep fake technology. So you, if one of your goals is to walk 10,000 steps a day, mine's to walk 15,000 steps a day, you'll see a beautiful, perfectly fit, healthy person walking with the text message, the audio message, but then your face is superimposed through deep fake technology on the video. So it's the ultimate in personalization. And so that's what makes it more interesting. It gives a light chuckle. So one of my goals is, TJ, eat more salad each day. Keep the salad dressing on the side. So there's a young, incredibly fit person eating salad. It's my face, but it's this guy with a perfect head of hair. And for those of you listening, let's just charitably say I don't have a perfect head of hair. So it creates a little bit of a chuckle. It's a little bit like social media. Everyone likes looking at videos and pictures of themselves on Facebook. But you don't have to use the deep fake. You can just look at someone else. Some people don't like to look at their own their own image. So that's the concept behind it, because health and wellness industry is a $6 trillion industry, and everything is about, well, after you have a heart attack, do this. We're trying to go to the source. If you can actually eat healthy every day and exercise every day, and that's just built into your programming, a lot less of a need for heart attack surgery.
Well, and with Ultimize, I think one of the things that's really cool is you know, when someone downloads it, they get to choose what they want to focus on. They get to set the, you know, the pace and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's, but then I love the thought of, okay, I tell this app what I want, and now into my stream of notifications about like more of a nightmare happening in Ukraine right now, and, you know, all this political just acrimony, and like now I start to see good things and positive things and things that would be good for me, and it's all if you will ultimized to help me accomplish my goals and to modify my behavior in a direction that I pick and I set.
Yes, that is exactly the goal. It's, I mean, the origin of the name is we want to help you optimize your life to have the ultimate life, to have to really flourish.
Yeah.
Eudaimonia is the ancient Greek term for it, to flourish at every level. That's really what it's about. And that's why I created it, because here's the problem. I'm not anti-capitalist. I use Facebook. I use Google. I buy stuff from Amazon every day. I'm not anti-capitalist. The problem is any one ad may be a great product that helps you, but collectively, when you look at the stream of 10,000 ads you see every day, the collective impact is most people, you eat too much garbage, you spend too much stuff on what you don't need, putting you into debt, and you waste too much time consuming other people's nonsense instead of actually producing your own podcast or your own writing your own book. That's the problem. So what's unique about Ultimize is we are the only ad agency in the entire world devoted exclusively to help you live a better life, to influence your behavior, to do things that are 100% in your interest.
Yeah.
When Mark Zuckerberg invites you to use Facebook for free, he's doing it not to help you, but to help his advertisers manipulate you. And again, I use Facebook.
Yeah.
But you need something in life that helps you stay focused. For example, I have a glass of water in my hand now. One of the Ultimize messages that's programmed in is, hey, keep a glass of water next to you at all times and start your day drinking a big glass of water. Now, most of the times I do it automatically. I go to Starbucks and I order it. But sometimes, like last week, I was in South by Southwest in Austin all week. I didn't have it. I didn't need it at Starbucks. I had to kind of go out of my way to ask for a glass of water from the hotel. But I did in part because I had a daily 3-second reminder.
Yeah.
Where I see myself drinking a glass of water with a reminder saying, hey, TJ, start your day drinking a glass of water. So it's a simple reminder because you're already going to get reminders to waste more time watching movies on Netflix. And hey, I watched some movies. You're already going to get reminders to eat a Big Mac. Why not a reminder that's 100% for you? And you were exactly right in that you, the user, get to control this. Any message you want, you can add it. Any message that we have built in, delete it. You know, one of the spheres where we really try to help influence people is how to enjoy leisure time more. I mean, it's a shame when so many people
need help with that, especially
who have,
now,
have money, have time, and they waste it all by sitting on the couch, scrolling through Facebook, looking at the latest news. And it's important to stay up. I'm not saying never watch news, and I'm concerned about what's going on in Ukraine, and it breaks my heart. I did a media training in Kyiv just a few years ago, and it was a beautiful town.
Yeah,
a lot of wonderful people there. But at some point, if all you do is scroll news, you're not helping anything. I mean, one of the messages I find most powerful, and a lot of our users at Ultimize find powerful, is just a simple message that says, I limit myself to 30 minutes of news consumption a day.
Yeah.
Because unless you are a full-time news producer, network TV anchor, the difference between you reading news and 30 minutes a day versus 2 or 3 or 4 hours a day is going to have no impact on anyone else.
No, it doesn't change the
world.
But
if you reduce it to 30 minutes a day, you now have a couple hours more to write a book, write poetry, make a movie, take your kids for a walk in the park.
Yeah.
Another reminder that's very helpful to me is it's an image. Again, it's my face, but you know, a handsome, young, good-looking man saying, I only consume social media 10 minutes a day. Guess how many bad things happen to you if you only consume social media 10 minutes a day?
Not nearly
as
many.
Nothing bad will happen to you.
Yeah.
And yet you have all this time for more productivity, more creativity. So that's why I created the app, because when I look at the whole health and wellness space, we're a part of that. Everything is about after you're already 200 pounds too heavy, after you already have diabetes, it's always further down solving this problem. Why don't we go to the root of the problem? It is the habits, the mindset we have in our brain. And if we can change those mindsets, it's a combination of affirmations, habits, and very specific tactical things. Like I have a message that reminds me every day, 8:20, go to the gym right now for 10 minutes. That's what works best for me. That might not work for you. But it's a combination. It's not just pie in the sky affirmations. It's not just a to-do list. It's things you want to think about and or do on a daily basis. So that's what the Ultimize app is all about. For right now, we're in a beta launch, so there's no charge for it. So it's a special opportunity for your listeners. Again, if they're willing to try the app and leave a review, you don't have to give it a 5-star review. I just want a review. If you do that, I will give you
I'll email you a copy of my book, Media Training A to Z. If you share your review on any social media platform, even if it's a negative review, I will send you a PDF, no cost, a free PDF of my book, Secret to Foolproof Presentations, which goes into every trick on how to be a great speaker. And all you have to do is email it to me, tj@ultimize.com.
And it's ULTAMIZE.
Yes.
So, okay, good. So that is a very generous offer. And, you know, people have already heard me on this show talking about how much I love Media Training A to Z. And I can't wait to look at the book about presentations too. So we have a few more minutes left. I want to ask you, there's a couple things that are circulating in my mind to kind of revisit. One is, the first thing I'll ask is, what was the lowest moment for you, or one of those lowest moments for you in your, because you're an entrepreneur and a lot of the people that listen to this are entrepreneurs. A lot of people are also top leaders in organizations. A lot of them are very entrepreneurial, even though they're maybe in a gigantic organization. We've all been through those difficult times. Is there one that stands out to you that taught you, like, maybe a painful but really important lesson that you could share with us?
We're two. Worst media experience ever. I was on a political talk show in South Florida 30 years ago, and I was debating a host talking about politics, and it was a host that had a very different ideological position than I did, shall we say. Yeah. So I'm giving my opinions, and he interrupts. He pulls the microphone out of my hand and says, "Mr. Walker, I have more respect for a Klansman than I do for you."
What? Wow.
And I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. And I'm arguing back. Next thing I know, he pulls out a gun and says, "Now do you see my point, Mr. Walker?" And I said, "Yes, Mr. Kane."
Wow.
That was about 5 minutes later. I mean, the first thing I said was nothing. Yeah. Not my finest moment.
Yeah.
He finally kicked me. I said, "I'm calling the police. Get him out of here. Get him out of here." He's yelling and screaming at his producer to have me escorted out of the studio. He was so offended at my opinions.
Wow. You were way ahead of the times.
And so that was not a high point. That was a low point.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? I went back to that station 2 weeks later, and I actually guest hosted, not his show. I stayed away from that guy, but I continued to go back as a guest on that radio station and as a guest host many times. I still think that guy's crazy.
Yeah.
But it wasn't my finest media performance, but it also put things in perspective. Every talk show I've ever been since, piece of cake. No one's pulled a gun on me. And it was talk radio, so no one could see it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I'm in the studio with him and he's pulling a gun on me.
Yeah. Wow.
So it puts things in perspective. Every interview I've ever done since, piece of cake.
There you go. Okay, good.
And shortly, about a year or so after that, a year or so after that, I moved to New York City. And I'd started a nonprofit where I was out speaking and going on talk shows, going on like Montel Williams' show, all sorts of shows. And I went to a political organization to give a speech. I thought they were in complete agreement with me. I happened to be saying positive things about a president who was in office, and this whole political organization was of the same party. I thought, well, that's pretty safe, saying nice things about the president of their party. They did not like that.
Wow.
At all. They practically booed me off stage. They sat there stony-faced. They were all of an ideological persuasion much further to the left of this particular president in office. So they were outraged that I would say good things about him.
Yeah.
And when I left, someone came up to me and said, "You know, who are you and where are you from? How dare you come here and tell us sophisticated New Yorkers how the world works.
Yeah.
So I'm walking home. I'm carrying my, at the time, a big VHS camera because I wanted to record it because I knew it was going to be a great speech. At the time, I have no income. I'm poor. I can't afford bus fare home. I'm walking to basically a commune where someone has given me a room. I'm dejected. It's April 1st, and I look up. It starts snowing and sleeting on me. And I've been in New York for about 5 months, and I'm thinking, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
But that was sort of the worst speech I've given. Here's the thing. Everybody has failure. Anyone who's been good at anything fails a lot. I won't use the same trite, Michael Jordan missed 10,000 shots at the end of the game thing, right. But that it certainly is true.
Yep.
Not every piece of artwork that Picasso made out of his 50,000 pieces of artwork was considered great at the time.
Yeah.
The main thing is you've got to get out there. You've got to create. If you want to be a better speaker, the easiest way to do it is to speak more. Now, you're younger than I am, but you're probably old enough to remember back in the days when they said, yes, you put up a one sheet and you knock doors on every Rotary Club and you make 1,000 phone calls and you'll get to give one free speech a month. And 5 years later, you'll have a speaking career.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you don't have to do any of that. There's anyone who wants to be a great speaker, just pick up your phone and speak. Post it on YouTube, TikTok, YouTube Shorts.
Yeah.
I post 5 separate speaking, simple talking head speaking videos. I post 5 videos a day, 7 days a week. On 12 different platforms. Now, you don't have to do that much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's against conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom is pick one platform, do well there. I've got my own reasons for not wanting to be dependent on any one platform.
Totally hear you.
Having had a channel taken down for wrong reasons from YouTube once.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to speak. There are no gatekeepers. There used to be the gatekeeper of the program director at the Asphalt Convention Trade Association who picked speakers. Uh-huh. And they still have their convention, I guess. And there used to be the gatekeeper of the booker for the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
But now you don't have to deal with that. Just speak, whether you want to do a podcast, long form video on YouTube, 15 seconds on TikTok. Speak every day and you'll get better. You'll certainly get more comfortable. You will gain confidence. And that's one of the messages I spent a lot of time on with Ultimize, is just encouraging people to be creative and productive. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you write a poem and it's awful and no one reads it. The sheer act of writing a poem is going to stimulate a different part of your brain. I write a poem every single day. Guess what? They're awful. I write a joke every day. Guess what? They're not funny. But the 20 seconds I spend on that part, doing that every day, stimulates a different part of my brain.
Yeah.
Also gives me a sense of satisfaction and just keeps my mind nimble. So that's what I'd recommend.
So here's my question based on that. It's another question that I wanted to ask. I think that it's, as you said earlier, it's very hard for people, especially at first, to watch themselves on video. And I feel like a lot of times that in those initial watches, people are just so hard on themselves that it's actually not helpful. What do you tell people who really just do, especially at first, have a very hard time? Because, I mean, I did too. I feel like my voice, I feel like I sound like kind of a dumb, stoned California surfer dude, and I don't even smoke pot, and I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah, even though I did live in LA for most of my life in San Francisco. But if I let that stop me, I would never say anything. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to go anyway, What do you say to people about hearing their own voice and watching themselves on video? Anything to make it a little easier?
Well, your podcast audience can't see this. I'm making a little violin.
Oh, yeah. You're playing your mini violin for me. Oh, poor Jim.
No, I understand it's a real thing. But again, we have to separate the difference between what is really hard versus what we don't want to do. If you tell me, or if I tell you all of a sudden, you have to perform the violin in Carnegie Hall, that's hard. If you've never had a music lesson and you don't know how to play the violin, that's really, really hard. Mm-hmm. You need years and years of instruction. That's not something, willpower alone is not going to make you good enough to do that. Mm-hmm. Speaking isn't hard unless you've actually have physiological problems preventing your mouth from moving and you don't have vocal cords. It's actually very easy. We've been making sounds since, for most people, the second they were born. So it's not hard to do. You simply have to differentiate between what's comfortable and what you don't want to do. Again, it's not comfortable for me to clean my garage. But if I say I can't clean my garage, it's too hard, my wife will correctly say, well, you're lying. You're just being lazy.
Yeah.
And at some level, that's not as warm and comforting as what a lot of people want to hear.
Sure.
But it really is true. If you want to become a better speaker, you can do it. Now, here's the thing about your voice. Everybody hates the sound of their own voice. And everybody hates the way they look. I've had people, when I record them, they start crying. Oh, I hate the way I look. I hate the way I sound. And I usually say the same thing. Look, relax. Nobody's 21 anymore, and I'm getting wrinkles and gray hair. My hair's falling out. Relax. I had a client once. She did a sample speech at media interview, recorded it, played it back. She's crying.
Uh-huh.
And I was about to say what I normally do. Then I realized I can't do that because I can't say relax. No one's 21 anymore because she actually was 21.
21, yeah.
And she was Miss Universe.
Right. It's so funny, right?
And her voice was, I said, what's wrong? She says, I hate the way I sound. I hate the way I look. Well, she looked great and she sounded great.
Yeah. Yep.
She just had never seen herself on video before.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a few years ago. This was before TikTok and everyone was doing video. She just wasn't used to it. I mean, she's now on TV constantly every day as a spokesperson for major corporations in Australia. She's taken to it. She got over it.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. You're absolutely right. If you record yourself once and you just pick it apart, or you ask a lot of coaches to pick it apart, that actually does more harm than good.
Yeah.
The only value of practicing on video is you have to look at it, figure out what do you like so far.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Yep.
Try to do more of what you like. Then and only then, focus on what you don't like. And then do it again. Practice on trying to improve just one thing.
Yeah.
And I've never yet seen that not help people dramatically.
Yeah.
If you look at it and say, I hate 10 things, and you try to fix all 10 things at once, you'll be awful. Yeah. If you take someone who's 7 years old and say, here's a high school math test that has addition, subtraction, multiplication, everything, geometry. Well, they're going to fail.
Yeah.
Does that mean they're horrible at math? They can never do math? No. But if you focus on teaching them just addition or just subtraction, just with small numbers, and then you give them a test on that, they'll probably do pretty well.
Yeah.
When you see a toddler walk taking its first steps and then falls down, you don't say, you fell down, you'll never walk.
Yeah.
No parent does that.
No.
Instead, you celebrate, way, you took your first step. That's wonderful. It's positive encouragement.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing when I conduct a public speaking training or media training, or any of my trainers at Media Training Worldwide conduct trainings, is we don't even let someone talk about what they don't like the first couple of times they see themselves on video.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you need to learn if you want to be a good speaker is to figure out what is it you like about how you speak.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks it's about, let's do it. Get me on camera. Tell me 72 things I did wrong. Rip me apart.
Yeah.
And then boom, I'll be a much greater speaker. No, that'll make you jump out of the window and kill yourself.
Yeah.
So there's things that people think help them. that don't. And I think Toastmasters is a great organization in many respects, and it's great to give people a low-pressure way of practicing and rehearsing and creates community. But a lot of them still do this thing where they're, you know, hitting a bell every time you say and up.
Yeah.
So you're so obsessed over not saying us and ums.
Yeah.
You're focused on avoiding the negative when what you should be focused on is actually say something interesting and useful to people.
Yeah. Yep.
If you say something interesting and useful to people and memorable, you can say 1,000 ums. They won't care.
Yeah. They won't even notice.
On the other hand, you cannot say a single and ." But if you're boring or do a data dump or tedious or you have no stories, one of two things will happen. They'll either instantly forget you or they will remember the fact that you were a tedious bore.
Yeah.
Neither one is a good outcome.
No, totally.
So your goal should never be to avoid problems like saying, oh, I said arm too many times or I moved my hands too much. This is another huge. I've worked with tens of thousands of clients for 40 years. I've never yet had anybody waving their hands in a crazy way. And yet every week, sometimes every day in a week, people freeze their hands, which freezes their arms, which freezes their face, which freezes their vocal cords, and they now sound stiff, scared, nervous, and robotic. So stop trying to hold your hands in. Your hands should move because that's what they do when you're comfortable and in a real conversation.
Yes. Well, and that kind of takes us full circle. And I notice we're at the top of the hour and I know you got to jump. The art is in hiding the art, right? Everybody already has the skill they need. It's just how do you translate that skill of being really good with one person to being really good with three people and five people and 10 people and 100 and 1,000. And then like the minister you worked with, tens of thousands of people, you know?
You do have to hone it. I mean, the good thing about public speaking is you don't have to go to medical school. It's like not like medical school for 4 years and 4 years of internship. I think anyone in the world can become a great speaker in one day. Mm-hmm. So you need to learn a few things, but it's so much easier than learning how to hit a golf ball and finish a course in under 100. That's so much harder. I mean, that's one of the things that gives me joy about public speaking is you can radically change someone in one day. It doesn't take that long, and you get tremendous benefits for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But it's not about just saying, oh, act natural, because it's natural if you're not used to speaking in front of 20 people to be nervous and scared. So the natural thing to do when you're nervous or scared is tighten up. What does a bunny rabbit do when it sees you walking by? It freezes up. So it's not about being natural, because it's natural to be scared, stiff, and nervous. It's about how can you act the way you are when you're completely comfortable talking to one friend or two colleagues? How can you take the things you do there when you are comfortable and doing it in situations that take you out of your comfort zone? So at that moment, especially the first time or two, you are acting, but your role model is not a Broadway star or Anthony Robbins. Your role model is yourself.
Yes, I love that. I love that. So TJ, thank you so much for joining
me. John. Thanks for your time. And thanks for this opportunity to speak with and share a little time with all the listeners of this fantastic podcast. Again, I'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments, want to reach out to me, it's tj@ultimize.com. And if you could, please download the app Ultimize on any app store. And again, I'm more than happy to give a free copy, a free PDF of Media Training A to Z and Secret to Foolproof Presentations if you leave a review and then send me the review of Ultimize.
Awesome. Good. And thanks for that. I think that is all of that will be highly worthwhile. So thank you for joining us today, TJ, and thank you for joining us and listening here and participating in this community and being a part of the things that we talk about. You're why we do this. So we'll see you next week on SpeakLikeALeader.show. And TJ, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining the Speak Like a Leader podcast. Go be awesome.